Hello and welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, Georgia's clean energy transition is slowing, according to a new study. There's more bad news for Georgia peanut farmers. A fire has destroyed a crucial processing facility in Wilcox County. And the ongoing government shutdown could soon affect 1 million Georgians who rely on SNAP.
We all in Georgia keep touting that it's the best place to work, live, raise a family. How can that be so now if your family does not have health care?
Today is Friday, October 24th. I'm Orlando Montoya, and this is Georgia Today. A new study suggests Georgia's clean energy transition is slowing. GPB's Sarah Callis reports.
Zach Amitai is with the nonpartisan group E2, which produced the study. He says while Georgia led the country in new clean energy projects in 2023, progress has slowed. For instance, the state has seen 3 clean energy projects announced this year and just as many canceled.
And those 3 projects canceled have, you know, represented a sizable amount of lost investment, over $3.3 billion in lost investment, and over 1,300 jobs forecast that will no longer be brought to the state.
That could be because of Biden administration clean energy incentives and tax credits ended by the Trump administration. Amitai says Georgia still has dozens of active clean energy projects and billions of dollars of investment. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis.
A fire in South Georgia's Wilcox County destroyed a facility crucial to taking harvested peanuts to either storage or market. The fire at the Doster Drying Field facility in the town of Rochelle also burned 20 semi-truck loads of newly harvested peanuts. The fire comes amid 2 tough years for peanut farmers who have seen sales plummet due to USDA cuts and are currently cut off from loans they need during the harvest by the federal government shutdown. The ongoing government shutdown means Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, benefits will not be issued in November. GPB's Grant Blankenship has more on the impact in Georgia.
It means about 1 million Georgians might not be able to afford food. So Georgia Democrats in the U.S. House have asked the U.S. Department of Agriculture to protect SNAP. That includes Sanford Bishop of Georgia's 2nd District, which runs from Macon southwest of the Florida border. He says the USDA has $5 billion set aside to fund SNAP in an emergency.
Unfortunately, the projection for what the need will be is $8 billion. And so we're urging the Secretary of Agriculture to utilize that $5 billion to extend those SNAP benefits so people won't go hungry.
And to move other money to cover the rest. Bishop also still wants the extension of Affordable Care Act tax subsidies as part of a solution to the federal shutdown. For GPB News, I'm Grant Blankenship in Macon.
Atlanta State Representative Kim Schofield is among State House Democrats asking Governor Brian Kemp to shore up SNAP in Georgia with funds from the state's $15 billion budget surplus.
We all in Georgia need to do something, especially keep touting that it's the best place to work, live, raise a family. How can that be so now if your family does not have electricity or heat or food or clothing, or health care?
So far, there is no public contingency plan for Georgia's SNAP. Housing affordability, traffic, and crime top the list of concerns that Metro Atlanta residents have in the latest Atlanta Speaks survey. Published annually by the Atlanta Regional Commission, this year's survey was the first to include housing affordability as an option. About 2/3 of respondents said they could not afford to move to another house or apartment in their current neighborhood. The Georgia Supreme Court this week heard several cases, including 2, that could affect how cities design roadways and who gets to sell cars, and another involving child custody with an unmarried couple. The roadway safety case stems from the death of a 21-year-old who crashed a car into a concrete planter while home from college in 2016. The planter had been placed a half dozen feet off the side of the road in Milton before 2006, when the city was established. A jury awarded the parents of Joshua Chang more than $30 million. The city lost an appeal and then petitioned to the state Supreme Court to consider the case. The high court also heard a case about child custody rights in a situation involving an unmarried couple's pregnancy through a sperm donor. In this case, the birth mother wants the Supreme Court to reverse a trial court order granting her former partner caregiver status for the child.
A toxic fire, a plume of smoke, and a community demanding answers. In Conyers, Georgia, the biolab disaster left residents searching for truth and accountability. This season, GPB uncovers system failures, hears from whistleblowers, and follows neighbors still fighting to be heard. I'm Pamela Kirkland. Join me for season 2 of Manufacturing Danger, the Biolab Story. Listen now at gpb.org/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts.
A coalition of environmental organizations delivered more than 24,000 petition signatures and nearly 300 pieces of artwork from children to Governor Brian Kemp's office on Thursday, urging him to permanently protect the Okefenokee National Wildlife Refuge. The groups, which included Environment Georgia, the Garden Club of Georgia, Georgia Interfaith Power and Light, and others, called on the governor to support pending legislation to ban future surface mining on the refuge's Trail Ridge. That's a geological feature that contains valuable minerals, but also serves as a barrier protecting the Okefenokee. House Bill 561, known as the Okefenokee Protection Act, and sponsored by State Representative Darlene Taylor, a Thomasville Republican, has not yet passed out of the House Natural Resources and Environment Committee. An Alabama-based company, Twin Pines Minerals, dropped its plans to mine Trail Ridge this summer and said it would instead sell 8,000 acres near the refuge. In the 1990s, DuPont also attempted to mine near the swamp. And that's it for today's edition of Georgia Today. If you'd like to learn more about these stories, visit gpb.org/news. If you haven't yet hit subscribe on this podcast, take a moment right now to keep us current in your podcast feed. If you have feedback, we'd love to hear that. Email us at georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Orlando Montoya. We'll be back again next week with more Georgia Today.